Well, this song was the theme song Saturday night. The only problem was no one told LSU about it. But we get to talk about it next segment right now for the next 15 minutes with my man Chris Coleman at TextileLine.com. What's up, Chris? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You back in one piece, man?
Yeah, I had to get adjusted to that time zone change down there, and I'm back in one piece. I think I'm still full from all that good food I ate down there, though.
Jambalaya.
And among many other things that I don't know. I don't know what they were, but they were good.
So all in all, let's get you all in all. Did you have a good time there?
It was the best time I've ever had in my life.
Before about 8 o'clock Central Time,
yes.
And after 11 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Best time I've ever had in my life, pretty much anywhere. They know how to do it down there,
really?
For football games.
So they treated you well then?
They treated me very well. That's the best fan base I've ever been around. You know, pretty much everywhere you go on the road, you know, you'll get some dirty looks. You'll get a few people yelling at you. Down there, I had one guy tell me he thought I was number one. But other than that, it was amazing. You walk by the tailgates and you're just walking, and they'll just call out to you and say, "Come on up, have a drink." They'll just start handing you bowls of jambalaya and things like that. I mean, they're really the friendliest people I've ever been around.
These guys on the other side of the glass every once in a while tell me I'm number one, too.
Uh-huh.
They tell me that, too.
I'm sure.
I'm like, that's the wrong finger. That's the wrong finger. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, let's get into this football game, at least what it was of one on Saturday night. I got to tell you, Chris, I was actually extremely, and that this isn't saying anything, but extremely impressed how well LSU played. But not only that, how well their running backs played, including Jacob Hester. We talked about it earlier last week about, you know, whether or not they actually had the type of running game that the Hokies should fear. Based on what we saw out of Hester and Keelan Williams, yeah, you fear him.
Yeah, absolutely. Keelan Williams is actually very deceptive because he's a big back. You know, he's about 6 foot, 225 pounds, a guy you would expect to just pound up the middle all the time. But, you know, in reality, he's an outside runner. He's their speed back. You saw it against Mississippi State in their first game, and you definitely saw it against Virginia Tech the other day. I believe he had, what did he have, 7 carries for 126 yards or something like that. And, you know, Hester's just a beast on the inside who, you know, another guy who really doesn't look that fast, but you know, he's got some quicks to him. He's a tailback slash fullback. That's what makes him dangerous is, you know, they could actually put Keelan Williams and Hester on the field at the same time together. I don't recall if they did that against the Hokies or not, but that's something they could do.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar, as we break down, actually discuss what happened on Saturday night to the Hokies. Not a good game for them. I know this as far as in the past, whether it be Virginia Tech or other schools, it happens. Coach Beamer talked about it on Tuesday, where you go somewhere, you're the visiting team, and although you can match up from a talent standpoint, when that game starts, the clock starts. Sometimes teams are just going to roll you like that. Everything's clicking on their end. That's what happened Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you bring your worst, they bring their best, and when you're playing on the road like that, you know, you're going to lose by 41 points when that happens. You know, there's a recent example of that in last year's national championship game when Ohio State played Florida, and, you know, the Gators just steamrolled them. The game was never even close, you know, but, you know, nobody's going to sit here and say Ohio State's a bad team or anything like that because of what happened in one game. It's just something you got to put behind you. And, you know, I think Tech has had tough losses before, and they've gone on to great seasons after tough losses before. As I was telling you earlier before our segment came up, they started out 0-2 in 1995, got shut out at home 16-0 by Cincinnati of all teams, went on to win the Big East, went to the Sugar Bowl, beat Texas in the Sugar Bowl. The very next year, early in the year, September, they went up to the Carrier Dome, lost 52-21 to Syracuse, won the rest of their games that year, went to the Orange Bowl, played Nebraska. Even the year they won the ACC in 2004, you know, they lost to USC to start the season in D.C., came back a couple weeks later, lost at home to NC State and gave up 10 sacks, and everybody was thinking, wow, this is going to be a 500 team. They won out, won the ACC, and went to the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, we still got a long way to go here. Tech is capable of getting this thing fixed, and they've certainly got enough talent.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com as we break down a little bit of the LSU game on Saturday night. And Chris, I got to tell you, the first drive, 10 plays, 87 yards, that is surprising. But what was surprising to me is they ran at the strength of the Hokies defense, the linebackers.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, this is one, you know, you can't pin too much on the linebackers, because if you look at what happened, the defensive linemen got no penetration, and those LSU offensive linemen were just able to release past the line of scrimmage and get to the second level. And that's the whole key to run blocking. If you get your offensive linemen to the second level, you know, you're going to run the ball. At one point, I even saw one of their offensive linemen get to the third level and block DJ Parker, the free safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you know, you're not going to have linebackers getting off blocks from 300-pound offensive linemen. You've got to get your linebackers running to the football, not having to shed very many blocks. And, you know, Vince Hall and Xavier DB couldn't do that the other night. Xavier DB had a pretty decent game, but, you know, Vince Hall, you know, he was just, he kind of outthought himself out there. I thought he over-pursued plays and just tried to do too much because of what was going on. I think that's some of the things you saw. The best defensive player on the field for Tech was Brandon Flowers. I thought, with the exception of his personal foul on that first drive, he was typical Brandon Flowers. He was physical in the running game, physical in the passing game, just overall played very well, but can't say that for too many guys on Bud Foster's defense Saturday night.
You know, pretty much that Coach Beamer Tuesday talks to the media, and he mentioned the fact that by watching the film, he found where guys were taking bad angles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what that also means is, like you mentioned, you're trying to do too much. You're not in tune with what your assignments are.
Right.
You've got to worry about when you're part of 11 guys, you got to worry about what you're supposed to do. As much as you want to fly around the football mm-hmm. field, if you're taking bad angles, big plays are going to happen. Big plays happen, and when you give up, it's one thing to give up 10 yards, Chris. It's another thing to give up 20-yard plays, 40-yard plays. Three of their touchdowns were plus 30 yards.
Right.
That's not supposed to happen to this football team.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen. And that's the thing that surprised me, because Virginia Tech is generally – I always consider Virginia Tech perhaps the most disciplined defensive
Sound.
Team in
Absolutely.
The country. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, a couple new starters in there. You know, you got to give LSU credit, Gary Croton, their offensive coordinator. You know, the guy's basically a genius when it comes to offense, and he knew exactly how to attack Virginia Tech, exactly where to attack their two new guys, Cam Martin, Cam Chancellor. Chancellor played pretty well for the most part, except for a couple plays. Martin had a really tough game keeping containment on the outside, taking bad angles, covering the wrong spots and zones on defense. He had a really hard time with that. So Croton knew where to attack Virginia Tech. You got to give them a lot of credit in that. But, you know, Tech had a few guys that obviously didn't respond well, but it'll be a learning experience for them.
You know, it's one thing to have a monster play, and we're talking with Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com on ESPN 1430. Len Martez here with you, and Chris Coleman brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. It's one thing to have a big play, a pass play, where there's a breakdown on a second day coverage, safety didn't get over, whatever it is. It's another thing to have a big play like Keelan Williams had when he breaks a tackle, goes 67 yards, and starts on the left side of the football field, mm-hmm. ends up on the right, and goes all the way across again. You know, that says a lot about the 11 guys that were out there. Somebody didn't make a play, Chris, and that's not supposed to be Bud Foster's defense.
No, you're exactly right. You know, that was a situation, I believe they lined it up trips on one side, and they caught Tech in a really bad alignment where LSU was blocking with four or five guys on one side of the field, and Tech only had three guys there on the side of the field to defend. So, you know, it's a pretty easy run for Keelan Williams. You don't have to have a lot of talent to make a huge run like that. It's just, you know, they caught Tech in a bad alignment, and again, that's just good coaching. You know, it's good coaching and good execution by their players. I actually think on that play, they had Xavier DB triple teamed on that play, you know, which shows they had a big-time numbers advantage on that side of the ball.
Yeah, Macho also got picked by a linesman, too. That also didn't help things, too. But what surprised me is that Williams had enough time to actually jump over a player.
Yeah.
That's startling when you're not able to make the play defensively. That's startling. Let's get into the big news as far as the quarterback chance concerned. Tyrod comes in Saturday, and we've heard it all week long. Poised, comfortable. I mean, you were there. I mean, before the ball snapped, all you hear is that humming noise from the Tiger fans. Kid's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He just turned 18 a couple months ago. Not rattled at all. I don't know about you, but I know I would have been rattled Saturday night. He wasn't.
Yeah, I was rattled just sitting in the stands. But, you know, you can look at his passing yardage. You can look at his rushing yardage. and everything like that. The most impressive thing is, you know, no false start penalties, no delay of game penalties. You don't see that from redshirt senior quarterbacks playing in Death Valley, much less true freshmen. That says quite a bit about how far along he is as an 18-year-old true freshman. I mean, he just got ice water running through his veins.
And
you know?
And you know what's impressive, too? And we're talking to Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com as we're catching up with Chris, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. You know what's impressive, too, Chris, is the fact that his decision-making, they can say whatever they want as far as him not knowing the other side and what the defense is constantly doing. And he'll learn that. Mm-hmm. But he's still making the right decisions.
Yes.
And the guy he replaced on Saturday showed you he still makes the wrong decisions. He made Craig Stites look like the intended receiver on one pass.
Yeah, and, you know, you watch the player's reaction on that. And this is a good indication that Glennon and the receivers have never been in tune. And if they're not going to be in tune by now, they never will be, because, you know, it was obvious, you know, Glennon got in Harper's face, Harper got in Glennon's face. Glennon thought Harper should have taken more of a slant to the inside in front of that defender. Harper thought Glennon should have thrown the pass farther up the field. You know, I mean, those guys, they're just not in tune. They never have been in tune. They never will be in tune at this point. So, you know, you got to go ahead and make that change.
And you know what? There's a ceiling that you already know what you get from Sean Glennon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't know what you're going to get from Tyrod. Tyrod is going to give you the ultimate as far as being a freshman, mm-hmm. being able to make the right decisions, all the things that you need from an athletic standpoint.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's untouched.
Yep.
We don't know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, we get a chance to find out on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's great timing right now, because you get to break him in against Ohio, William & Mary, and UNC before you go play Clemson. Now, you couldn't ask for anything better than that. You know, Tyrod's the type of guy, being a true freshman, he might lose a game for you, but he might come back and win the next two for you, you know? So it's going to be a fun season, I think, now with Tyrod at the helm, because, you know, whatever happens, I think you're going to realize you got a future there.
All right, Chris, we got to run. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio, and we do catching up with Coleman every Wednesday. And, Chris, glad you made it back in one piece. I was wondering if you were going to, but glad you did, and glad you enjoyed yourself too, man. It's good to hear that the Tiger fans treated you well.
I definitely recommend taking that trip if you ever get a chance.
All right, Chris. Thanks, brother. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Len Martez and ESPN 1430. I'm here for another segment. Chris Coleman is out the door. Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar, here every Wednesday breaking down the previous Hokies game. And, yeah, we want more victories coming on this side as far as the Hokies are concerned. Listen, one loss does not end this season. Do we want a benchmark of 10 wins? Yeah, but you want more than that. You've gotten 10 wins before in Frank's years. What, 4 out of the last 5 years, something along the lines, 3 out of the last 4 years? You want more than that. You want 11 wins. You want a BCS bowl game. That's what you're aiming for this 2007 season, especially when you have the returning players you have on this team. We've got to take a short time out. One more segment to go on ESPN 1430.